Okay, today's message begins in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. And we will go through chapter 7, verse 12. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to be looking at the words of Jesus Christ again today. The entire message is all in red, if you have a red-letter Bible. And Jesus begins by saying, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." And what Jesus is saying is that no earthly investment is really a smart investment. Some may be better than others, but none of them are smart in the sense of being lasting. Every investment involving something in this world will be lost. I don't care how secure the company is that you're investing in. It's going to be lost, and it can be lost in many different ways. A recession can steal it. Inflation can devalue it. Or it can break, or it can wear out, or somebody can steal it, or if nothing else, you will die and not take it with you. The point is, there's no lasting security in the wealth of this world, so don't trust in it. Nothing wrong with having it, just don't trust in it. 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Good works done to honor God are an investment in eternity, an investment that will last you forever. You will get dividends from that investment for all eternity. And like I said last week, every act of kindness, every time you give someone preference, every time you help someone who needs help, every buck you give to help get out the word of God, so on and so forth. Every prayer you pray for the glory of God is an investment in eternity. God notices these things, even when no one else does. And he will make sure that you are rewarded because they make him happy. 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When a person invests their time and energy and wealth in the things of this world, well, then that's where their focus is going to be. Because where you put your wealth, where you invest your time and your wealth, that's where your attention is going to be. When a person invests in eternal things, then their focus is going to be on eternity, more than this world. Eternity is what they will care about. If you invest in the stock market, then you're going to be reading the stock market portion of the newspaper every day. That's where your attention is, because that's where your money is. And if you invest in eternity, that's where your heart is going to be. That's what you're going to be thinking about. And so people sometimes say, "Well, I'll start living for Jesus when I get more interested." Forget it. It doesn't work that way. You'll get more interested in Jesus once you start living for him. Once you start investing your time and your energy and whatever else you have in him, that's when you're going to get interested in him. That's how it works. 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be healthy, thy whole body shall be full of light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Now, a lamp gives light to a room and causes the things in that room to become visible. And likewise, our eyes work like a lamp. Our eyes allow us to see what's around us. And then he says again in verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore thine eye, If therefore thine eye be healthy, thy whole body shall be full of light. In other words, if your eyes are working well, then you're going to see clearly. Your body will be full of light, as it were. You'll be able to see objects. But then he says in 23, but if thine eye be evil, or if thine eye be bad, it doesn't work properly. If your eye isn't working properly, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. In other words, if your eyes are bad, you can't see what's around you. If I don't have my reading glasses on, then I might as well be trying to read in a dark planetarium, because I'm in darkness without my reading glasses. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, here's something interesting. Please try to get what Jesus is saying here. It's not good to be blind. I know blind people can do a lot of things, but I don't think anybody would say blindness is a good thing. Blindness is not a good thing. It would be even worse to be blind, but pretend that you can see. Can you imagine the fallout from something like that? I cannot read the directions on a bottle of medicine, so I wear my glasses when I have to read. If I was in denial about my ability to see, and therefore pretended that I knew what the directions said, I could be in huge trouble. It's bad enough that I can't see. It's even worse when I deny that I can't see and pretend that I can. Then I over-medicate myself. And what is true in this physical realm is doubly true in the spiritual realm, and that's Jesus' point. It's bad to be spiritually blind and therefore ignorant of the truths of God's word. That's bad enough. But it's even worse to be spiritually blind, say you're not, and then speak with authority about eternal things that you don't know anything about. And that's what many of the religious leaders of Jesus' day did. They didn't know the first thing about God. They didn't know the first thing about God's word, but they acted as if they did, and they taught wrong things with all the authority that they could muster. That was just very dangerous to them and to those that listened to them. 24, no one or no man can have two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Everyone has a master. Everyone serves someone. Everyone chooses at least one of two masters, according to what Jesus says here. Some people serve the things of this world. They serve material things, and they trust in the material things of this world. And they look for their greatest joy in material things. They trust in them. They think about them. They look for their greatest joy in material things. They trust in their things to take care of them. Others serve God. Others trust in God. They put God first, and they trust God to take care of them. But at any given moment, we are either trusting God and living for Him, or we are trusting in things and living for them. It's one or the other. It can't be both. And I'll tell you, if you're trusting in God to take care of you, you're going to have peace. If you're trusting in things, chances are you're not going to have peace. 25. Therefore, I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body than raiment? God did not create us because He wanted a creature who would put food in their stomach and hang clothes on their body. You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were not talking before they created this world and said, you know, what we really need is to create a creature who will put food in their stomach and hang clothes on their flesh. That's what we really need. Nothing wrong with putting food in your body and hanging clothes on your body. It's just that there's more to life than that. That's what Jesus is saying. We have a higher purpose for being than pampering these bodies or stuffing them full of food and hanging clothes on them. There's a bigger reason for us to be here than that. And so Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than food, and body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Aren't you worth more than they? By the way, we are worth more than the animals. I know that has to be said today. You know, 30 years ago, it wouldn't have to be said. Today, it does. We're worth more than the animals. And we're worth more than the birds, and we're worth more than earth. But back to the point, birds do not worry. I don't think you'll ever see an antidepressant drug for birds, because they're not depressed. They don't even think in those terms. God provides what they need for as long as he wants them to live. They don't even think about it. They just be. And the point is, we are more valuable to God than birds, so we can be confident that he will provide everything we need for as long as he wants us to live. If he does that for the birds, he certainly do that for us. 27, which of you by being anxious can add one cubit unto his stature? In other words, Jesus is saying worry doesn't help. Worrying about not having food will not put food in your refrigerator. Worrying about dying won't make you live longer. So it doesn't pay. Just put God first and trust that what will happen, because God will allow it. If we eat steak, rejoice. You know, if we eat hot dogs, be content. Just trust God. Put him first. And Jesus continues in verse 28. And why are you anxious for raiment or clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They don't make their own clothes. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Most people do not worry about not having any clothes. I've never seen anyone, I don't care how poor they were, without any clothes. Nobody worries about not having any clothes at all. You know what people worry about is not having the latest fashions. And God doesn't promise us the latest fashions. He doesn't promise us a $100 sweatshirt with a Nike logo on it. But he will somehow provide some kind of clothes for us. May have to go to Goodwill. May have to go to Bethesda. You may have to go to Salvation Army if times are tough. But he will provide. Someone says, I wouldn't be caught dead at Goodwill or the Salvation Army. No way. I only wear the latest styles. Well, carry on. You know what I'd say to that person? You got a bigger problem than worrying about your clothes. You got messed up priorities as far as God is concerned. Not saying you shouldn't have nice clothes if you can afford them. Go for it. But don't make it that a priority, and certainly don't worry about it. It's not that big of a deal, is what Jesus is saying. There are things that are much more important than that. 31, therefore, be not anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we be clothed? It's not our job to worry about having what we need. That's not our business. That's God's business. He'll worry about that. 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Gentiles refers to people who do not know God, and they do not serve God, and they do not obey God. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. People who do not know Christ and therefore are not in God's family according to Scripture have no promise from God. He doesn't promise to meet their needs. So they have to go seeking after these things, and they have to trust in these things. But if God is our Father through faith in Jesus Christ, then God has promised to meet all of our needs. You say there must be a catch. Well, there is a condition. 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Christians are free to put God first. Because if we do, he has promised to take care of us. We don't have to lie to accumulate more things to trust in. We don't have to steal to accumulate more things to trust in. We don't have to cheat to get things and to trust in things. God has made it very simple for us. Obey him, confess when you fail, and God will see that you have everything that you need for as long as he wants you to live. It's really very simple. 34. Be therefore not anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is its own evil. And here's another thing that'll help us not to worry. This is very important. Be content with the fact that the needs that you have today are met today. And when tomorrow comes, if it comes, obey God and trust that he will meet tomorrow's needs tomorrow. That doesn't mean you can't have a savings account or store stuff away in a freezer or whatever. It doesn't mean that. It just means that your ultimate trust should be in God. You trust God for what you need today, today. And when tomorrow comes, you trust God for what you need tomorrow. Chapter 7. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Now here is a verse, I think, that is one of the most abused, misunderstood verses in all of Scripture. People who don't know anything about the Word of God, people who don't care about God, somehow know how to quote this verse. Judge not, lest you not be judged. Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we can't have an opinion about what people do. And it doesn't mean that we can't say that something is wrong or something is bad if the Word of God says that it's wrong and bad. It doesn't mean that we can't say something is wrong or something is bad. It means that we have no right to judge people in the sense of blaming them. We can judge whether someone is doing something right or doing something wrong, but only God knows why people do what they do. We don't know a person's thoughts. We don't know their circumstances. And so, yes, we can say that something is right or wrong, objectively right, objectively wrong, based on what the Word of God says. We can say that, and we should say that. But how culpable someone is for their actions, that's God's decision. That's not ours. We can condemn the action, but we better not condemn the person. 3. Here's something else. And why beholdest thou the mote or the splinter that is in your brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt you say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. If I have a big chunk of wood in my eye, then I have a much bigger problem than the person next to me who has a little speck in their eye. And the lesson from Jesus is this. Don't talk about the faults of others if you're too proud or too blind to admit and recognize your own faults. Our faults may be bigger than their faults. So Jesus is saying, clean up your own life before you lecture others to clean up theirs. 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and lacerate you. Pigs can't discern what is valuable from what is useless. And certain people do not recognize the value of things either. You can tell some people about Jesus dying on the cross to pay for their sins so that they don't have to go to hell, and they won't care. They'll treat it as a light thing. Jesus' offer of forgiveness is the most valuable thing in this world. 2 minutes in hell, and they'll know it. And yet they treat it as if it was nothing. And so what Jesus is saying here is if someone mocks holy things, then don't keep telling them about holy things. And if someone mocks the work of Jesus Christ, don't talk to them about Jesus anymore. It's not right to expose Jesus to any more humiliation and mockery than he already endured when he was on the cross. It's not right. 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Do not give up on prayer. God hears you, so don't quit. If you ask for wrong things, he's going to say no. But keep praying, because sooner or later, you'll pray for something, and God will say, you know what, that's better. That's something I know is good for you in the long run, so I'll let you have it. I'll say yes to that. But don't quit on prayer simply because he says no. Keep going. Keep asking. 9. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Human fathers are not perfect, but no father worthy of the title will give their child something dangerous or knowingly allow them to do something dangerous. 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? God is not stingy. God always wants to give his children good things. So we may ask for something that we are absolutely sure beyond all doubt is good for us. And yet God may say no. Now his no may shock us. But he always has a good reason for saying no. God never says no just to prove that he's the boss. He has a reason for saying no. And it's a good one. Otherwise, he would say yes. Because he wants us to be happy. 12. Therefore, all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. In other words, that one command sums up the entire Word of God. This one verse sums up Jesus' moral teaching. You can't possibly make right and wrong any simpler than this. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Put yourself in somebody else's situation. And if you wouldn't want bad to be done to you, some bad to be done to you, then don't do that to them. And if you would want somebody to do something good for you, then do that for them. And we would all like other people to do what's best for us, and that's fine. But then we should always do what is best for others. If people would do what is best for others, even when they didn't feel like it, that's the key. Even when they didn't feel like it, everyone would get along just fine. It would be a lot happier place. This world would be a lot happier place. You'd see a lot more smiles. A lot more people would be whistling because this world would be a much happier place. Next time, we'll pick it up in verse 13. Until then, so long, everyone.